one verse. So let's all read together out of Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19. And I was in Psalms.
That would have been good.
I was thinking that is not
had anything to do with the Bible study.
That was not the verse. That was not the verse. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse number 11. So Proverbs 19, verse number 11. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. Father, again, we thank you that we have your word, and thank you that you've left it for us, that we might know you and know your word more intimately, know you more intimately, and help us, Lord, to take the admonition tonight in this verse, in this message, Lord, and let it be applied in our lives. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Well, I had one title for the Bible study tonight and struggled with keeping that title and decided I would give it another title, which basically is what the Bible study is about because it's found in the verse. But if you're one who takes notes and you write down sermon titles and Bible study titles, tonight is simply entitled, Get Over It. Just Get Over It. And I trust that you'll listen, give me a good listening ear, perhaps by experience, but definitely through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Solomon knew the temptation of impulsive judgment because of anger. He had good teachers, he had people all around him, but he knew firsthand about it. When Rehoboam would become king, he would be confronted by those who would make him angry. And there are people out there, it seems like their calling in life is just to make other people angry. It seems like that's what they do. That's what they do best. They can't open their mouth or be in the presence of others without making them angry. And Solomon knew that if Rehoboam were to judge impulsively, innocent people would get hurt. It just would happen. That's what happens. Solomon wanted Rehoboam to avoid that kind of unjust judgment. It's easy for us to judge impulsively, to react rather than act. And there are many folks who appear to be bent this way. And I don't know all the reasons why, but I know part of it is because of our fallen human nature. And I know we can't go back to the old Chris Christopherson song and say, I'm only human. Though our humanity does get in the way all too often. In fact, some of these folks, it takes hardly anything at all to set them off. Just they get angry. And how sad it is when Christians are driven by their feelings at that particular moment rather than by proper discretion, as we see in the Word of God tonight. And so I want to define some words for you. And if you'll look at your Bibles, you'll see the definitions very easily. And of course, these definitions come from my Hebrew lexicon that I use when it comes to word definition. So I'm not making this stuff up. This is something that actually comes from the actual meaning. First of all, look at the word discretion. The verse that we read tonight in Proverbs 19 and verse number 11, notice it says, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. So these are the word meanings. Discretion means understanding and wisdom. Very simple, understanding and wisdom. The word deferreth or the word defer means to prolong or give more time. I think that's interesting because it adds so much to this. It means literally to prolong or to give more time. And then the word anger. Anger means... This is a picture word. It means blowing through your nostrils. Isn't that something? You've seen somebody get mad. What do they do? They get mad and angry that way. And by the way, this kind of anger is ready to punish right now. No waiting, no deferring, no putting off till later, no giving more time. The word glory means praise, honor, and beauty. Glory here means praise, honor, and beauty. The words pass over as a phrase means to go beyond or to go past something. To pass over means to go beyond or to go past something. A very beautiful little phrase that is used there. And of course, the word transgression means rebellion against authority. Rebellion against authority. Very interesting word. In other words, Solomon is teaching that proper understanding and godly wisdom will cause an individual, or his son in particular, to judge in time rather than impulsively. Let me say that once again. Solomon is teaching his son that proper understanding and godly wisdom will cause his son to judge in time rather than impulsively. In other words, as it says here, to give more time. It will be to his benefit, that is, to his praise, that is, to his to simply get over things that are done to him and done to him personally. I think that's a beautiful thing as a father is teaching his son about leadership. And so there are examples in the Bible where there were men who deferred their anger instead of acting upon it. And remember what the word defer means. It means to give more time. It means to prolong. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, I believe it is, chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, there's a time to be angry. There's a time to do these things. But it's not always at the time that we choose. It's at a different time. So Solomon's imparting some great wisdom to his son. And I want to help all of us tonight to have some more wisdom in this area. I'm going to give you some illustrations of those who deferred their anger. Number one, Joseph, in Genesis chapter 40 and verse 15. Joseph, in Genesis chapter 40 and verse 15, where the Bible says, "For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon." You know the story of Joseph? It says of Joseph that God was with him more than any other man in the Bible. You know, God was with him, the phraseology that is used. And Joseph had certainly done nothing wrong. Joseph was very much in the right, even though he was judged harshly by his brothers. Joseph realized, however, that God had a plan. In other words, the plan that God had was different than the ones his brothers had, or maybe even that went through Joseph's mind. And so, and even though his brothers sold him into slavery for a mere 20 pieces of silver, and even though he was imprisoned for something that he had never done, he understood that God was in control and knew what he was doing. More of us need that kind of understanding, and retaliation was something that he could have done, but it was something that he chose not to do. And when it was all said and done, he said, "You meant to hurt me, but God meant it for good." He understood that about the Lord and the situation that he was in. He deferred his anger. He put it off till later. In other words, he put a stop to what he could have done. Second individual I want to tell you about is a man named Moses. You know the name Moses, one of the greatest, if not the greatest military leader mentioned anywhere in the Bible and even in history. In Numbers chapter 12 and verse number 13, the Bible says, "And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, Heal her now, O God, I beseech thee." What's that about? Numbers chapter 12 and verse 1 gives us the beginning of the story. Let me read this to you. "And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses." Wow, brother and sister, speaking against Moses of all things. And it says, "Because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman." And so Miriam and Aaron were very angry at him. Well, Joseph was absolutely in charge. Miriam and Aaron rebelled against Moses' God-given authority, which he had been given by God, and they backbit him and spoke evil in of his place of authority. Should they have done that? Well, no, they should not have. But something happened. The Lord brought judgment upon them. I think it's interesting that the Bible tells us that the Bible says that God's going to be the one who does the repaying. And so here God brought judgment upon them, but it seems that most of the judgment fell upon Miriam, who had led in the rebellion. Listen to this verse, Numbers chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. It says, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against them. Against who? Miriam and Aaron. So God's anger was kindled against them, and he departed, and the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow, and Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. Now, that's very interesting. That's what happened. But here we have verse 13. Let me show you what Moses prayed. You know, Moses could have done, he was a leader. He was the one who was in charge. He could have said, thank you, God, go get them. But look what he prayed. Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. He didn't want Miriam to suffer. And so he could have been very, and remained angry. The Lord had smitten Miriam with leprosy, and Moses did not rejoice in the judgment, nor did he desire for Miriam to be a leper. And he said to the Lord, he literally begged the Lord to heal her. But notice the wording that is there. I had to look twice at this. In verse 13, saying, heal her now. That was his prayer request. Wow. The Lord had smitten Miriam with leprosy. Moses did not rejoice in the judgment that came, nor did he desire for Miriam to be a leper. And that's why he said, heal her now, O God, I beseech, I beg, I implore you, heal her now. That's something that Moses would do that. There's a third individual. You're very well acquainted with him. His name is David. And that's back in 1 Samuel chapter 26 and verse 5. And so, interesting thing here, the Bible says, and David arose and came to the place where Saul had pitched. And David beheld the place where Saul lay, and Abner, the son of Ner, captain of his host, and Saul lay in the trench, and the people pitched round about him. David and his army had come upon Saul and his army. Saul, by the way, hated David. Saul was jealous of David. And you remember what the women in town sang that made Solomon so angry? And I quote, they said and sang, in the streets, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David hath slain his 10,000s. That angered and brought jealousy and wrath out of Saul. And he even said, nobody's going to eat till David's dead. Boy, what a stupid proclamation that was. But while Saul was sleeping, David could have killed him easily, and no one would have known till the next morning. The story goes simply like this. Saul and his army had pitched their tent, but the Bible says that Saul had gone aside to cover his feet. I do not want to be improper in what I say, but that phraseology has to do with him relieving himself and going to the bathroom, and he laid his skirt that he was wearing aside. Very interesting. They told David, because David and his group were in the cave, and they said, here's your chance, David. Go kill Saul. And what David did was this, was while Saul wasn't looking, David took his sword and cut the hem off of Saul's skirt, so to speak, off of his robe. And when he got up to leave, David ran out behind him, and he fell down behind him and basically asked for forgiveness. David said that he would not lift his hand against God's anointed. Now, David could have taken Saul's life. I mean, Saul had thrown a spear to kill him. Saul had made a covenant with his people and said, we're not going to eat anything until David is dead. I mean, he went all out against David. And David had the opportunity to take Saul's life. And I believe, according to what the Word of God says, David's men would have done just exactly that. But David didn't. And can I just interject here the Parton translation of Scripture, the Parton perversion, if I may? Saul basically looked at David and said, you're a better man than I am. You're a better man than I am. And by the way, at that point, David certainly was. And then, of course, if you'll take your Bible and go to 1 Kings 13, I'm going to read a number of verses that are here. And that's the man of God. He's referred to as the man of God. In 1 Kings 13, verses 1 through 6, the Bible says, and there came a man of God. So that's what we're going to refer to him. And when the Bible talks about a man of God, it means a man that God has sent, okay? A man of God. And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense, and he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord, and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priest of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, This is the sign which the Lord hath spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, and he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, Lay hold on him. And his hand, which he had put forth against him, dried up, so that he could not pull it in again to him. And the altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored to him again, and became as it was before. Very interesting story here. King Jeroboam did not like hard preaching, especially when the preaching was against him. And that's the way most people are. People don't like they don't like hard preaching unless it involves their particular sin. I have said over the years, yeah, you like my preaching, but when I preach against your sin, you're not going to like it very much. Used to have a couple that sat right here when we were up in Woodland Park, and he said amen a lot, and I'm glad he did. It always encouraged me when he said amen. And one day I just said, yeah, you say amen now, but you're not going to say amen when I preach against your sins. And I said it, and of course they smiled and laughed, and they were very friendly at the church, and they were good people. But the truth is, people don't like preaching when it covers their sin. You mention their sin, well, no matter what it is, they're not going to like it. And often, and I've been in the ministry long enough to know that people say, well, you were preaching about me. And remember my rule that I keep. I love my rule. If you think I'm preaching about you, I am. And if you don't think I'm preaching about you, I still am. That just sort of covers everything for me. But no, I have never and will never, and this Bible study is not, and any sermon I preach in the future will not, I never preach a sermon to go after any particular individual or individuals. I just preach what the Word of God says. Angered at the preaching of the man of God, Jeremiah stretched forth his hand from the altar and ordered his men to lay hold on him. And the Bible says that the very hand that he stretched out against the man of God is the one that was withered. God judged him. Now, the truth of the matter is, the man of God could have looked at Jeroboam straight in the eyes and said, live with it. But he didn't. He besought the Lord, and God healed the hand that was reached out against the man of God. And so, in other words, he got over it, which is what he was supposed to do. He did what the Bible says in Proverbs 19 and verse 11, to where he passed over, he got over the transgression. So, I have written down four applications that I want to give you now, and I'm going to read them to you, if I may. With the illustrations that I've given you fresh in our minds, let's make some applications. Number one, had Joseph not deferred his anger, he would have destroyed his own family. Had Joseph not deferred his anger, he would have destroyed his own family and had the authority to do so, by the way. All too often, because we do not put off our anger, we end up hurting those that are closest to us. And Joseph's own father had already been hurt enough, and it would do no good to simply add to it. When you discipline a child, for example, discipline the child and then get over it. Don't carry it and hold it over the kid's head. When it's done, it's done. It's over with. When we would discipline our children at home, we didn't hold that sin over their heads after they had been spanked or grounded or whatever it might be. Once it was done, it was done. It was over with, and we just got over it. Did we forget what happened? No, but we didn't bring it up again either, you see. It's obvious that Joseph got over it. Number two, had Moses not deferred his anger, it would have destroyed his sister. That's family. Miriam had cared for Moses when he was just a baby. You know the story about Miriam, don't you? She's the one that took care of him when he ended up in Egypt and ended up in Pharaoh's house. And she was hired, of all things, to help take care of him. A very amazing thing. And when a person, listen, when a person has a bad day, it does not necessarily mean that that person is bad. Moses had every right not to intercede for his sister, but he did. Why? Because he got over it. He just got over it. Thirdly, while Miriam was not hired, Miriam was not hired to take care of Moses. She did watch over him. His own mother was hired to take care of him, but Miriam was a part of that process. And I just, there we go. There we go. I just turned off my sermon, which maybe there are those out there listening that wish I would turn it off, but no, I got more to go. And so, thirdly, had David not deferred his anger, he would have killed Saul. Did you know that Saul was God's anointed too? People always say the people chose Saul and God chose David. That's not biblically accurate. God chose Saul to be the first king. And God chose David to be the next king. And so that's why David said he would not lift his hand against God's chosen man, God's anointed. That's what that means. The one that was anointed king, and Saul was. David had other occasions where he could have hurt Saul, but he chose not to. Samuel had already anointed David as king, and David had to do, all David had to do was wait. One day he would be crowned king. He just had to wait for it. In order for that day to come, Saul would have to die. And David wasn't going to be the instrument that took his life. So what David did was he waited on God to do what God had promised to do. And in waiting for the will of God, David learned that he just needed to get over it. And Saul, listen, how would you like to be standing there and have somebody throw a spear at you? He wanted to plaster David up against the wall and kill him. Very amazing thing. But Saul was so jealous and so enraged at David. But David chose not to kill him. And he could have, by the way. He had that opportunity to take Saul's life. Number four, and lastly, had the preacher not deferred his anger, Jeroboam would have stayed crippled. A preacher cannot always expect people to like what he preaches. I don't ever expect anybody to like everything that I preaches. I never expect everybody to like everything that I preach. There we go. I finally got it out. And I know that there are those who don't like what I preach, no matter what it is. If they have a disagreement with it, they might get angry with me. It's happened before, and I've been here long enough. We've been in this church. Pins and us have been here I've been here 35 years. Pins will be here 35 years in August, of all things. And the thing is, listen, we've been through an awful lot, and not every sermon I have preached has been a people pleaser. I'll guarantee you that. And there's been folks who absolutely did not like what I preached. And that's okay. Or the way that I preach. I have a style of preaching. Did you know that not everybody likes my style of preaching? They honestly don't and have told me so to my face. But that's okay. Those are things that are in the past. It is obviously not the preacher who had anything to worry about, but Jeroboam bit off more than he could chew when he attacked the man of God. And when Jeremiah saw his hand, he pled to with the man of God to pray. When Jeroboam saw his hand, he pled with the man of God to pray for him that he might be healed. There are many today that would have said, "Oh, you got what you deserve." Yeah, so what? I think today the phrase is get a stank face. Yeah, you know, a stank face like the gangs do today. But no, he didn't do that. He had compassion on him. He deferred his anger. By the way, he didn't have to heal. He didn't have to call on God to heal this man. The man of God had compassion on Jeroboam and prayed for God's healing, and God healed the king. And that happened because the man of God was able to pass over it, to get over it. He was able to do that. What a wise thing for him to do. So, Solomon was teaching his son that it would be to his honor and glory if he would simply learn to get over it, to put things behind him, to walk away from it and leave it alone. So I've got this written out, had it written out for a long time, but I want you to hear it. Are there people who have offended you in some way? Can you think of anyone right now that maybe you're upset with, perhaps even angry with, because you feel that they have transgressed against you? And let me give you the same advice that Solomon gave to his son. And if you'll follow his advice, it'll be to your praise. It will be to your glory. The word glory, by the way, also carries with it, maybe you didn't write this down, but the word glory carries with it the idea of beauty. Isn't that a something? It's a beautiful thing. And it says here that to pass over something, to get over something, makes you a beautiful person. And there's so many things that could be said right now, but if you will follow that advice, it will take the ugly away from you and replace it with beauty. It will take away the bitterness and replace it with praise. And my advice is that no matter what the transgression, simply get over it. You say, that has to do with your personality. No, it doesn't. It has to do with what the Bible teaches. This is to a man's glory, to his praise, to his beauty, if you learn to pass over a transgression. It's like I said, when you discipline your kids, we discipline our kids. You folks that are online got kids and you discipline them. Learn to get over it. Discipline your kid, pray with them, give hugs and kisses, and walk away from it, and don't hold it over their heads. Don't, whatever you do, don't hold it over it, because what you'll do is you'll make a bitter child. Learn to do what Solomon taught Rehoboam to do, because he was leadership material. He was going to be king. He didn't follow his father's advice. That's obvious. You just read a little further in the Bible, you know that Rehoboam was not a good son to his father, and he was never a good leader to God's people. Would God he would have followed his daddy's advice, and that would have been a great thing.